18 through 21. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow, okay? And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, I want to stop there for a second before we finish. So, did all of you remember this morning that God's the audience of our worship? Yeah, here's the thing is, what we want to do as a group of Harvestites, okay, or whatever we are, we want to really celebrate God every Sunday morning. And so I want us to be able to focus on the fact that he's the audience. We're not there evaluating. We're not doing that. We just sing out. And by the way, wasn't the worship good? Yeah, it was really good this morning. And so go on back to I want to finish that. All right. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Sorry. Submitting to one another. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Now that's the way we should be reading our Bible. Amen. First, let me share a specific word. I tell you this, been on my heart since this series, and maybe even before that, and the word is deliberate. Deliberate. The dictionary defines deliberate as careful, thought out, and done intentionally. And I believe that deliberate is essential to you and I, both as individuals and the body of Christ as a whole here at Harvest. So let's start this morning with our submission to Christ as a subject. When it comes to submitting to Christ and cultivating our spiritual life and maturity in Christ, we do that by being deliberate. It doesn't accidentally happen. Have you got that yet in your Christian life? If you try to let it just kind of float in, it floats out, right? It doesn't work. We've got to be deliberate. We've got to carefully thought out and done intentionally. Now, let me just give you an illustration. Last month or two has been crazy for Debbie and I because both of our vehicles went down at the same time. All right, and I had one vehicle I put in quite a few months back. A lot of you know the saga because I've cried on your shoulder, okay? But anyhow, both of our cars are out being repaired, and I think it almost sounds like maybe Monday or Tuesday I'll get one of them back. But, you know, it came to the place of how you kind of Band-Aid and Band-Aid until finally, you know what, I just got to get repaired. And so I took deliberate action to put both cars in rather than trying to do. We were trying to do one and the other. Finally, we took deliberate action and we carefully thought about it and then intentionally put them in. Not one, but both of the cars. And at the same time, in order to be able to have a worthy, two good, strong, worthy cars, right? There's nothing worse in our lives, you know, than to have a car that doesn't quite run right, is it? Man, doesn't it drive you crazy? And so out of the dilemma, we decided to put both cars in, borrow some cars, and that wasn't fun. But we borrowed two cars. Now we're down to one borrowed car, and I think we're going to get our car back. And then pretty soon, by the end of the month, I think we will have two cars again. Hopefully, they work right. Now, listen to me on this. When we come to Christ, we may be excited or moved by compassion or simply make the decision to follow Christ in your Christian life. But somewhere along the journey, just as I had to make the decision to put both cars into the repair shop, you have got to be deliberate in your obedience and submission to Christ. Do you hear me this morning? The Bible's full of that, but we're a little afraid of that. So I'm not talking about legalism, okay? I'm talking about being covered with grace, understanding that we will fail at times, but at the same time, be deliberate in pursuing our relationship with Christ and do what he says for us to do. Amen? There's no way around it. And somehow we think by grace it means we don't have to do anything. That's not what God, I think, intended. So when we look at the verse today, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, or the fear of God, we have to ask ourselves the basic question, am I submitting to Christ? No. Now notice I didn't say submitted, because it's a day-to-day thing, isn't it? Am I submitted to Christ? Because if we are not really in submission to Christ, how can we follow Christ when we're really not following Christ? Submitting means to be subject to submit to the orders or directives of someone, to obey, obedience, submission. Now, when I read that in the dictionary, man, I was kind of bummed to leave so little room for rebellion, gossip, and hypocrisy. Right? Submission is something that we do and become as Christians towards God and each other. And if we don't, we think we can see that we will certainly suffer the natural consequences of our behaviors of being self-indulgent and uncaring. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. If you have your Bibles, I want you to look at that. We have it up here. A verse that really tells us ahead what submission is. And Paul puts it in the word of head. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11, 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is what? Christ. You hear that, men? The head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11, 13. Now listen, I really want you to come to grips with this morning. If you have an ear to hear this. Even Jesus Christ submits. He submits to the Father. So our very Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, submits to the Father. And we are to submit to Christ. And men, I want to exaggerate a little, not exaggerate, but kind of point towards you a little bit this morning. It applies to all of us, but especially to you, men, in God's hierarchical view of relationship. And not that the women aren't supposed to submit to Christ, because we all submit to Christ, right? We submit to each other and submit to Christ, but men, I'm going to talk to you a little bit stronger this morning, if you'll let me. Will you let me? Okay. Paul discusses this headship, and he addresses you specifically into submission to Christ, and because you are going to answer to Christ in your leadership as the front guy in the family. Do you hear me, men? If you don't have a family, you still answer for you, right? Now, I remember a point in my life where I saw myself not only managing my spiritual life, because I came into the marriage with Debbie managing my spiritual life, and that went on, and that kind of thing. And at one point, all of a sudden, I realized, wait a minute. According to the scripture, I am going to be answering for my wife and my kids the way I raised them, whether I undergirded them spiritually and guided them as a family. And that's scary, isn't it? Because we, men, are responsible for the bottom line and the welfare of our families, period. Please don't be confused on that. And it's not easy, but we have to be deliberate. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 4 says this, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, your holiness, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in holiness, in sanctification, in honor. Every Christian is to pursue holiness. Every Christian is to pursue purity. Every Christian is to strive to stay away from sin. Holiness is not an option. God tells us in 1 Peter 1:16, be holy because I'm holy. The path that the Christian travels is to be an imitator of God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11:1, where we were, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And as we grow closer to God, we'll become more and more aware of His holiness. But at the same time, the closer we get to Christ, the more we are aware of our sinful nature. Do you know, you realize that? I mean, let me give you an example. So many times I get up in the morning and I don't want to wake Debbie up. I do. I'm kind of a bull in the china cabinet, but I really try not to wake her up. I get up, I take my shower, I get dressed, everything. A lot of times I'll go down and make coffee, or I get to work here and make coffee. But I'm in the dark, and I drink my coffee, and every once in a while, now this may only happen to me, but I'll take a sip and somehow it gets outside of my mouth and down onto my shirt, right? And so it's dark, and I, you know, I wipe it off, and I think, oh, okay, I'm fine. And I get to work, and I turn on the lights, right? Big spot there. You know, that's like the closer we get to Christ, it's like turning on the lights, isn't it? And when it's kind of dark, you don't see the spots, you don't see Him very much, but as you draw close to God, all of a sudden you begin to see the spots, and you begin to feel even more unholy rather than... less unholy rather than more unholy, because now the light is shining on the spots. And you know what? We can get confused and think, you know what? I give up. I can't get holy. I can't be sanctified. I can't do this kind of thing because I have too much sin. No, it's finally being exposed, man. Do you hear me? But here's the thing. We also become aware of His grace and mercy, don't we? Oh, man, I can't tell you how many times I've just put my head on my desk and said, thank you, Lord, for Your grace and mercy. Right? The mark of a person moving towards holiness is that they become humbled and God is magnified. You know, in the video, God molded, the video was talking about, and I'm sorry for the sound, I don't know what happened to the sound, but they go to Jeremiah and talk about how we're molded and made, God makes us into a vessel of honor and dishonor and so on. And the mistake that most Christians or most Christianity make, the assumption is that God molds us and we're stuck with that mold, right? I mean, in other words, God molds us and, oh, He mars us, so He makes us what in? Here we are, the marred vessel. Now, I'm telling you, that kind of gets up my backbone. I don't think that's what the Bible says at all. And in fact, I want to turn to Jeremiah 18, which the video quoted, and just read it so we can take a look at it. And then I want to bring it back into perspective. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the word which came from Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then he went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at a wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as seems good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy, if the nation against whom I have spoken turns from his evil, I will relent. I will change my mind of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Now listen, God's saying it's up to them, right? Even though we're talking about nations, it isn't that he's at the wheel and he thinks, I'm going to just make them into a evil country or a good country. That's not what he's saying. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plan it, if it does evil in my sight so it does not obey my voice, then I will relent, I will change my mind concerning the good which he had said I would benefit. Now listen, first of all, God is not talking to individuals here. Who's he talking to? The house of Israel, right? And he's talking about Israel, and he's talking about nations that he will destroy and rebuild a nation that's evil, and he'll honor a nation that's good. But somehow in Christianity, we have seeped that down to an individualness that God will mold us and make us into good or bad, and we're kind of stuck with that. And I really think that is contrary to the Word of God. It is not what he's saying, because our God is not like that, is he? Even with the nations, he will change according to their behavior. And, you know, I think that he has made us to have certain temperaments and certain spiritual gifts. He's given us all that. But, my friends, he's given us choice as to whether we decide to submit to him and to his will or not. And it sounds like he will use us no matter what, whether we are that bad vessel or good vessel. So turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 20. If you have your Bibles, I want you to look in there. We'll have it up here. But I just want to read this to you. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, we have the same thing in our house, don't we? We have nice plates to eat on, and we have garbage vessels, right? This day, they even had what was called a chamber pot. If you know what that is, great. If you don't, I'm not going to tell you. Okay? But we needed all those vessels, right? And God uses them all in the kingdom. Listen, I knew a guy years ago. He was a good friend, and he was very zealous for God, but he lived a precarious Christian life. I could never figure it out. He stole. He was dishonest at times. He committed crimes in prison right now, by the way. And at the same time, he would go to bars, and he was a very good musician, and he would play music with a band, and at intermission, he'd pick up his acoustical guitar, he'd set up a stool, and he'd put a mic up, and he'd sing Amazing Grace, and then give him the salvation message. Right in the middle of the biker bar, or wherever he was, and there would be people from time to time that would respond. They would come to Harvest here and accept Christ. And, you know, I just looked at it and I think, oh, man, I don't know how God doesn't squirm with the kind of lifestyle he had. But he would bring those people in. And every time I think of a vessel of dishonor, I think of him. I don't mean it in a negative way. I just mean someone that God would use even when they're a mess. Do you hear me this morning? And because he meant well. He truly meant well. He just had a lot of baggage. And his life was of sin and dishonor, and God used him. And right now, he's using him in a prison because he is the worship leader on one of the compounds in the prison, where when they have a Sunday service, he does the worship, and I'm sure it's great. He's a great musician. And I marveled. I stand back and just marvel at what God would do through his life when his life was such a mess. And if for no other thing, with all these character flaws and this unredeemable behavior, God used him as an example to me. One, of how I don't want to live, right? The other is God's going to go ahead and use us no matter what. And you get to choose whether you're that dishonorable vessel or whether you're an honor vessel. Sorry, I want to say decibel. I don't know why. And God will use him in his kingdom, but it may not be pretty if you go for the vessel of dishonor. And if you want to be that vessel of honor, listen to the next verse, because it all depends on you. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone, I want to add the word deliberately, cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Sanctified and useful for the master, men. When God molds and shapes us, it's because we pray as he grows us and he shapes us. I want to read a verse from Psalm 37 because it is a team effort in your life. Listen to this. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him. That's you, right? And you may say, you know, Lord, I give myself to you. I want to be totally sold out for you. God, will you help me? And what does the next verse say? And he shall bring it forth. Your righteousness is as the light, and your justice is the noonday. He will bring it to pass in your life if your heart's right. Because you know what? We can't do it, really, can we? You've all tried, right? And it's tough. And so what David is saying here in the psalm is that you commit your way to the Lord, you trust in him, and he will bring about the righteousness in your life, the holiness. So the question is, who do you want to be, Christian? Right? Who do you want to be? Do you want to be that person, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the head of man is Christ, and the head of all of you is Christ? Amen? It's not just the men, but I want to speak specific to you. Who do you want to be, men? Who do you want to be? A submissive servant for God, or an independent and dishonorable fool? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. Lord, I think our heart value is we all want to be that submissive servant to you. And Lord, we get tangled up with the world. We get all these kind of things. But Lord, will you help us, especially as men, every morning to give ourselves back to you, hand ourselves over, and will you bring about our righteousness that we might walk the way you want it to walk, that through grace we might be able to live that sanctificated life that you've talked about. Lord, please help us.